Reading this morning is from the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. 2 Timothy, we'll be reading chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. Second Timothy, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, to whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, and greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, and faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. As far as the reading of God's word. You want to stop?
And for our scripture lesson, let us turn to the Old Testament, to Malachi chapter 3, the very last book of the Old Testament. If you turn too far, you'll go too far into the New Testament, because Matthew is the next book. And I will be reading Malachi 3, verses 13 to 18. Let us hear now God's holy word. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is there that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you again shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Let's bow our heads and ask God to teach us from this passage. Oh, Father, we are seeking to be faithful to you as opposed to hypocritical. We are seeking to be thankful to you instead of critical. And we are seeking to discern the fact that you are constantly listening. Yes, Lord, we pray, may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Does God pay attention when we talk about him? Does God listen in when we talk about the Lord's work with other people? And how about when we remember his church and remember the history and testimony of our church? The Lord is acutely aware when his people returned to Jerusalem after 70 years of captivity. They were the Jews, and the Jews, upon returning back to their homeland and to the city, they were not happy. They had a lot to say. They were not well received by their new neighbors, the Samaritans. They found that their city was in ruins and without a wall to protect it. The vine and fig tree were not exactly producing record harvests either. And there was an economic oppression that affected the poor and the widows. In Malachi 3, it says that some people began to complain, "It is vain to serve the Lord." There were others, however, that remembered the Lord and his promises and their past and his faithfulness. In fact, they spoke to one another about God and his covenant and the blessings he has given to them. And it says the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and for those who meditate on his name. Does the Lord listen in when we recall the wonderful things he has done for us? Does the Lord give special attention when we take the time to remember God and what he has done for covenant? Yes, God remembers those who remember him. And as we remember covenant over 40 years, let's take note that we are really remembering God. As we remember God, God will remember us. That's really what we want, isn't it? That God will remember us in heaven. And that's why covenant now, that's why we are celebrating 40 years of God's faithfulness at the end of this month. And so let's look now at Malachi 3, verses 13 to 18. It provides for us three reasons. We're back to three, not two, not four, but three convenient reasons. We want God to remember us remembering him. The first reason is we want God to remember us remembering him. That is because God has an ear that's open to all things. The second reason we want God to remember us remembering him is that God discerns how his people in particular, remember him. And the third reason is those who remember him, he makes a memorial. So let's look at the first reason we want God to remember us remembering him. First is then, God has an ear that is open to all things. And it said the Lord listened and heard them. Well, of course we know that God is omniscient. He knows all things. And there is absolutely nothing that escapes the knowledge of God. And this fact is continually expressed through the use of phrases like the eyes of the Lord and the ear of the Lord. And the ear of the Lord hears the whispers of the lonely. The ear of the Lord hears the poor as they groan. The ear of the Lord hears the cries of the afflicted believers in this world. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. And 1 Peter 3:12 quotes that. To be open to their cry means that he is attentively listening to them. when they pray. And he's giving them his undivided attention. Psalm 10, verse 17. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. And there are innumerable other references, particularly in the Psalms, of the Lord hearing us, and of David crying for the Lord to hear him. And it is the picture here that Isaiah 49:14 gives to us. It says, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, but I will never forget you. Yes, the Lord portrays himself like a young mother listening for the whimpers of her newborn baby from the crib at night. And that's how God listens. He listens. So we're beyond the theological matter of the omniscience of God and right down to the personal matter of the Almighty's personal love and affection for us, that he gives us his ear. Now, on the other hand, we have those that assume the Almighty doesn't hear, and they're living in denial. And sometimes we live in denial too. But it says in Psalm 73:9 and following, they set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walks through the earth. They say, how does God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Well, I don't know if they so use those exact terms and words, but that's what they're saying when they speak as though God was not right there hearing them. When the wicked king of Assyria, for instance, raged against the Lord, his words did not fall merely on the ears of men, but God heard every word that he said, and God was not happy what he heard. It says in 2 Kings 19:28, because your rage against me and your tumult has come up into my ears, therefore I will put a hook in your nose and my bridle on your lips. And I will turn you back the way you came. And it does say, then the angel of the Lord slew 185,000 soldiers and camped around Jerusalem by night. There has never been, nor there will ever be, a conference of men for peace or war, for good or ill, that has not been shouted into the courts, into the ear of the Lord. He heard the counsels of Adolf Hitler. He hears the schemes of Kim Jong-un and of Putin. And yes, he hears the words and reads every text that is sent by our President Donald Trump. There never was a scheme or plot, never a secret told or shared, it was not perfectly audible to the ears of the Lord. There is no such thing as an inaudible whisper. There has never been a cry or a groan from a child of God that our Savior's ears have not caught and given full attention. God has an ear open for all things. A second reason we want God to remember us remembering him is that God discerns how his people remember him. And we're focusing now how. God heard how critically his people spoke of him in Jerusalem. You remember when they returned from Babylon after 70 years, and perhaps their expectations were very high, and they were hit with great disappointment at the desolate condition they returned to. God heard them. God heard the words that questioned his faithfulness. Malachi 3:13 and 14. Your words have been harsh toward me. It is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord? They're questioning God's faithfulness, and God heard it. He heard words that questioned God's character. He says also, what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances? Now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up and go free. They've been keeping a mental record against God and how he has rewarded evil people instead of good people. They're questioning God's character. God heard the words that were dishonest and hypocritical as well. And this happens very often with us. They deliberately confound outward show for inward service. They say, we have walked mournfully before the Lord. What profit is it that we've kept his ordinances? Yeah, they thought that because they went through the traditions of the Jews and they went through the yearly and feast time shows of mourning, that God would call attention to that and bless them. But they weren't telling a lie because they knew they were just going through the formalities. They weren't giving heed to the poor. They weren't humbling themselves before God really in their hearts. They were hypocrites, but they were using that argument against God. They thought they deserved reward, but they complained that the wicked are better off than we are. This is a perplexing problem, which has often caused atheists to openly question the existence of God. He doesn't answer Christians. They're not any better off than the deceitful and the scheming and the liars and hypocrites. How many Christians have been caused to weep in secret, not knowing why God does what he does and why it seems so hard for us when others do well? Read Psalm 73. Terrifically difficult question for Asaph. He went through spiritual depression because he couldn't figure God out on that basis. And so when we talk about these things and express our criticism of God, the Lord hears it. But on the other hand, in spite of the disappointing conditions the Jews faced when they came back from Babylon, there were also those who feared the Lord still. And they spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. Verse 16. Yes, it says they feared the Lord. It doesn't matter that it doesn't suggest that they were living in terror like a slavish sinner or fear of judgment. But living in the fear of God is, for God's people, a fear of forgetting the one that they love, forgetting the one that loves them. They fear against that. This fear is the response of love and faith, not rebellion or rejection of the Lord. And so God heard those who fear God speaking, and they spoke to one another in encouraging ways. They didn't bring an accusation against God because things weren't going well. They didn't trust their own judgment of circumstances if it reflected negatively on God. And why not? What was the secret of this faith in spite of circumstances? The answer is given right there. They meditated upon his name, verse 16. They meditated on God and the remembrance of him rather than themselves, their own expectations, their own disappointments. The resource for their positive and encouraging testimonies. What was the resource? It came from a repository of great thoughts, remembrances that they had hidden in their hearts throughout these days, through their daily devotions, through their contemplations of God's promises, through their reminders of God's unchangeable, everlasting covenant with them. How many times we have, in a time of great trouble, at that time come to the Lord's table and been reminded of God's covenant sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then our perspective is completely changed, isn't it? This is the way it was for those who spoke well of the Lord. And this is the important point. They not only meditated on these things in their hearts, but lest their love should cool and their faith fail, they assembled together with one another. Yes, they spoke with one another. In circumstances like they were going through, it was all the more needy for them to come together. As one observed, when the fire burns low, the coals that are alive should be what? Brought together so that they could be blown into a flame. And this they did. I love the way Larry Crabb expresses it. He said, "His glory will burst through most brightly when the night is darkest." What an encouraging thought for us to come together and remind each other about it. Now, isn't that interesting? It was their coming together. Many people think that the only encouragement for us, the only command we can rest on for faithful worship to God's Sunday stated services, the Tuesday services, is Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And of course, it is true. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Paul says to the Ephesians that those who are filled with the Spirit will speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How many times do we think that the question of coming to church is because we're commanded to, or because we might be strengthened, and of course that's all true, but have you ever started thinking about other people? That's the point of them coming together in Malachi under difficult circumstances, in the restoration of Judah, the spurring on, the reinforcement. Yes, you are missed. When we have come together regularly and you're not there, we have so many examples in the Bible of those who met together to reinforce their faith. There were the sons of the prophets in the dark days of Elijah and Elisha during the reign of wicked King Ahab and others, the school of the prophets that they had instituted to preserve their faith. There is the institution of the synagogue. When was the synagogue formed? The tradition of the synagogue that Jesus met in every Sabbath. It was formed during the captivity, the 70 years captivity, to hold their faith together, community by community of Jews in their little ghetto, to encourage one another in the midst of idolatrous Babylon. There were the secret services in the early days of Christianity when Caesar was persecuting the Jews, the Christians. And when the Jews were persecuting the Christians, what did they do? They met together in secret in people's homes. And they had to do so in Rome in catacombs, lest they be apprehended and executed by Caesar. And we can all the way go up into the days of Queen Mary in England during the days of the Covenanters, when she commanded all Covenanters, all Protestants who met, be executed. Where did they do? What did they do? Did they stay home? No. They gathered in the woods. They went out on the dark moors of Scotland as Covenanters and reinforced one another's faith against the command of the Queen. The word of the Lord was precious in those days, and they needed one another to do it. And it was these conditions that the ear of the Lord was especially open to. And this is the reason why church needs not only the stated services of Sundays and Tuesday evening, but it also needs men's fellowship. It needs women's fellowship and luncheons made up of people who are devoted to enriching one another by the word of God. And this was the early blessing that came upon that little group of nine souls 40 years ago as they met together in Jean Wilson's home to pray and encourage one another. And this is also the reason and the benefit of every anniversary celebration at Covenant in the years that followed. It is these, the Lord says, he will remember. What difference will it make that God remembers us? Well, that brings us to the third reason we want God to remember us remembering him, and that is those who remember him, he makes a memorial. We shall be recorded in a book of remembrance. Verse 16, Malachi 3. Now, historically, the kings all had their books, and they were written to tell of the good deeds and the evil deeds. They were the chronicles of the kings. The Lord began in Exodus chapter 17, 14. He said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. And he was specifically talking there of Joshua defeating the Amalekites. But the book of remembrance that God is speaking of here is older than the chronicles of the kings, older than the chronicles of the kings of Persia, older than the chronicles of the kings of Israel. It is the book of remembrance of the divine king. It is the redemption's record that God is talking about. Jesus said in Luke 10:20, rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. Never was ever any good word spoken of God or for God from an honest heart, but that it was registered, that it might be recompensed and remembered in the day of resurrection. Jesus said, every idle word spoken will be included in God's judgment. Even our tears. The tears we shed while waiting for deliverance, they will be remembered to be kept for future recompense and then wiped from our faces. That's what it says, Psalm 56, 8. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? All of this is in the book of remembrance. Of course, God doesn't need to keep records written down, but what it means is that God doesn't forget. It means that God doesn't change in any way toward his faithful ones. You look at Matthew 26:13, and there is the story of a woman who feared Christ and loved him, who expressed her love to him by pouring rich ointment over him. And Jesus made her a memorial for her testimony. Matthew 26:13. That's the record of Mary, of Matthew. But her name isn't given. It took many years before John sat down to write his gospel. And it was John that recalled her name. Mary. Mary of Bethany. And she is remembered throughout all the days and the years of church history because of what she has done. God made her a memorial, and he will us as well. And beyond that, he will make us his peculiar treasure. And that's what promise also in verse 17. Now, what do you do with a treasure? We don't expect exemption from trials, but what do you do when trials hit? You respond and take hold of what is most treasured. And that is taken first, You picture suddenly there is a fire at home. Whatever is most valuable, have you ever thought about what you would take out of the house first? I'm thinking probably first I would take the safe box and my computer, because on my computer are all my records. That's what I would do, maybe. Oh, well, I'd take Cindy too, but. What do you do if you should have money, a lot of money? You don't keep it in your house, usually. You put it in a bank. And all of that tells you that this is your treasure. This is what you will keep. Well, God does the same with his own. And an example of that is when Jesus was speaking in Matthew 24 of the great persecution and the wars and the rumors of wars that shall come in that day and age after he has ascended into heaven. And one of those terrible events that Jesus foretells is when you shall see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. Then he said, let him who is on the housetop flee. Don't take anything, just flee. Get out of town quickly. And Christians remembered that in the year 70 AD when they saw the Roman legions surrounding Jerusalem and gathering. They got out. They went and they found refuge at Pella because of the warnings of Jesus. Jesus was treating them, yes, as a precious jewel in his life. These are God's hidden ones, but not overlooked. They are scattered, but they're not lost. The world doesn't know them, but God knows them that are his. And so as God protected Israel in the wilderness, so as God spared Noah during the flood, so God protects us and spares us as his jewels. And you can add our names then to the book of life, our status as precious jewels. But we've got one more special promise to those who are memorialized. We will be protected like a son. Verse 17, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Yes, we are children of God because we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout our regenerated lives on earth, we are testified, we are told, we are reminded by the Holy Spirit that we are God's children by adoption. And then when we must pass through the portals of death, even to the throne of God, there we will be received by our heavenly Father as his child and heir. How can we be sure of all of this? Many Jews came to doubt the Lord because of the hard circumstances of their life when they returned to Babylon. That's why they complained against the Lord. But what about us? Can we be sure of these things, the promises that we will be memorialized, that we'll be in the book of life, the book of remembrance? Can we be sure of what God has promised us? And the answer is yes. We can be sure of what God will do with us and how God hears us and how God remembers us because of what God did not do to his only begotten Son. There is one in heaven who is God's son, not by adoption, but by nature and likeness. He is his own son. He is the only begotten Son of God. None other is the brightness of his glory, nor the express image of his person. Twice God declared, this is my beloved son, my beloved son. Surely such a father will not turn a deaf ear to his son. But no, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. After all, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but might have everlasting life. The divine Father of our Lord Jesus Christ knew what treatment his Son would receive when he sent him into the hostile world, yet he spared him not. He knew what travail of soul he would bear when the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, yet he spared him not. And while worldly souls complained, it is vain to serve the Lord, what profit is there obeying God? It was God's only Son that he took everything away from and turned a deaf ear to when from the cross he cried out to his Father, "Why have you forsaken me?" And all of this is so that he might become a faithful high priest and intercessor to those who come to God through him. It is because of him that we are heard. It is because of him that we are made children of God, regarded as jewels, recorded in a book of remembrance. Therefore, even in the darkest hour of our days when we shall face death, we may know that because he faced death for us, death cannot separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For this reason, Jesus will remember all those who remember him on the day of death and the day of judgment. And then before all heaven, those who meditated on his mercies, those who spoke to one another of him, they shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, as the stars forever and ever. And then we shall see how God makes a difference among men. God remembers those who remember him. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we address you as Father because we know we may be heard as sons. Because your one true begotten, only begotten Son, he was not heard. We thank you, O Lord, because we have given all eternal life because of him who sacrificed his life for us. We remember you, O Lord, for how you have blessed and continue to promise us blessing from on high, because all those blessings were taken from your Son during his days on earth. Now give to us, we pray, Lord, a motivation, aspiration, desire to remember together those things you have done in our lives, those things you have done to covenant. We ask, O Father, that the result would be praises redounding to our Savior Jesus Christ. And for this, O Lord, we pray, may we know that you are remembering us. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.